Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, but the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Even the judicial system of the land is off the rails. The wicked go free, America. The righteous are put through hell. You know what happens when you shoot someone that's entering your house to harm you in most of the judiciary areas in America? You go through a horrible legal battle to defend yourself that costs you all that you have, and you'll end up in debt, and you may go to jail for a while because, oh, did you have to shoot him? He was coming in your house with a knife and you had a shotgun. Yeah. That's just like, I mean, couldn't you have put the shotgun down and got a paintball gun and maybe just chased him away? You know, it's the same stuff's happening here. The law is slacked. The judgment doth never go forth. And he's talking about also the fact that the Levitical law was completely lost. The Levites, the priests of the nation, don't even know the law. In fact, back in a few episodes, they found it. The old ancient book covered with cobwebs. I mean, all of the book of remembrance that Moses had written. The little law light, Levitical law light, you know, you could carry in your pocket. The other one was 60-pound book. You know, Moses said, I know they're never going to read it, so I'm going to make this little book, put it everywhere, post it everywhere, put one in your dashboard, you know, the glove box of your chariot. Keep it everywhere you go. But they've totally lost it. They don't even understand God, his law, nothing. It's all gone from the land. America, where is God in America today? Oh, we go to church and listen to the preacher for 20 minutes. If that's what you do, and that's your that's how you're contributing to your spiritual wealth, you're lacking. You got to approach God daily. He wants an intermingling with you. He wants a daily conversation with you. A 20-minute sermon on Sunday should just get you started. Then you should go away and ponder it and hopefully get a conversation going with God that's more valuable than listening to that preacher. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagles that haste to eat. Because, Israel, you have gotten so far from me, I'm going to allow the Chaldeans to come in. Very nasty, powerful group of people. You're going to all be hauled away. They shall come, all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art that now from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Look at that. God is in charge of everything. This heathen nation's going to come in and pronounce and be as God's judgment stick. They're going to come and pounce on Israel. And it is ordained from heaven above. Christian, you get out of line, God will lay the rod to your back. There are lessons here for the daily Christian life. You got to follow after him. That little voice inside you is telling you what you're doing probably isn't just right, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't tell those lies, or you shouldn't cheat on your taxes. Whatever it's telling you, you need to listen. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue? Ah, what are you waiting for, God? The man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them that with the angle. They catch them with their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense into their drag. Because of them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. The nation is into excess. And we've talked about this on past episodes. It started with Solomon. You feed this body too much, the spirit man goes to sleep. God says, I place the spirit of man in the heart, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. And it's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind and guide this abominable flesh down the narrow path. He's saying here, all they care about is their commerce and their food. And they've gotten so fat, they don't even know who the Almighty God is. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me, what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. But the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it will tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's read that one again. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Grace always existed, and it's all a matter of the heart. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desires as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth upon him all people. That is a connotation to the Antichrist there. I'm going to read it again. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine. And we've also noticed, and Jonathan brought this up a little while ago, that is a spiritual connotation there. He transgresses the spirit. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but garnereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Definitely Antichrist. And we've all of a sudden, as we do in the Minor Prophets, switched into end days prophecy here. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Woe to him who increaseth that which is not his. This is not God's world. I mean, this is not Antichrist's world. World belongs to God, but he's going to claim it all for himself. Shall they not rise up suddenly? That shall bite thee, and awake, that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, and the city, and all that dwell therein. Woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness in his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and has sinned against thy soul. Sin against oneself can bring punishment in the flesh. And we've talked about the three types of sins. There is one sin. It's disobedience. But you can sin against God, you can sin against your neighbor, and you can sin against yourself. This is a notation for sinning against thyself. Thou hast consulted shame to thine house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thine own soul. For the stone shall be cut, shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanities? A little bit of a difficult read. We'll get through it here. It's not much longer. But the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. And this is not only, you know, it's a sin to get your neighbor drunk and take advantage of him, but it's also a spiritual connotation here. Woe to you if you lead your neighbor astray to take advantage of him spiritually.
And to look on their nakedness, what we learned from Noah.
Yeah.
Right, so you're getting them drunk so you can sleep with his woman?
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, that, you catch one of the former episodes on WBFFradio.com. You'll find out that what Ham did to Noah was just not seeing his father naked. There's a whole lot more to it. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? I've often, and we see this over and over in here, a man makes something with his hands. He's a craftsman of metal, he makes a molten image, or he's a woodworker and he makes a wooden image. And then they worship it.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the story of Abraham and his father. And you won't find this in the Bible. You find this in the book of Jubilees and Jasher. You know, Abraham's father had all these carved idols in his house. And he worshipped them. And Abraham had been talking to God. So his father's not home one day, and he goes in. And he sits in front of, and he's got a whole room dedicated to these things. He goes and sits in front of him. He says, "Mother, bring some food. Make some tasty meat. Bring it here." And he sets it in front of him. All day long, sits there. And I think he does it the next day, I think, when Jonathan, like, 2 days in a row.
I think so, yeah.
And none of the food ever gets eaten. But then he takes a hatchet in there and chops them all in pieces, except for the big one.
Yeah.
And he puts the hatchet on the big one's hand. And his father comes home and has a cow.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, what has happened to all my gods?"
Yeah.
"Abraham, get in here." And he says, "Father." And he tells a lie, but it's comical. And it's for a good purpose. And we see that happening in this book all the time. You know, he says, "I put some tasty meat in front of your gods." And the little ones ran at the meat before the big one had a chance. And he got angry and chopped the little ones in pieces.
Yeah.
And his dad says, "That's impossible. They're made of wood."
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things that he's been worshiping.
Abram's like, "Well, that's kind of the point, Dad."
Yes, exactly. That is the point, Dad. Why would you worship a piece of wood? Why would you worship something, Christian? And, "Oh, well, I worship God." Do you? Or do you worship that fancy car that you stare at 16 times when you park it out in the parking lot on your way to the store? Keep flicking your head back to make sure it's still there and shining, and you want to catch a glimpse of how the sun is bouncing off the shiny rings on the tires, you know? Been there, done that. Had my time. You got to be careful the things that occupy the majority of your time, because that belongs to God. That's what He wants from you. He wants your time. To obey is better than sacrifice. He doesn't want your money. He has enough. Had He wanted, at any moment, He could flood the world with gold. He doesn't want that, but He knows to most humans, their money is precious to them. So if they can willingly, with a willing heart, give some of it, that's a good sign. Be careful what you worship in this life. I mean, we see Solomon began worshiping women and adopting their gods because he wished to satisfy them. You gotta be careful. It can come in so unbeknownst to you all of a sudden. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. That beautiful antique sports car will be a rust bucket one day. It will bring no pleasure to you. It will bring no blessings to you. So be careful what you worship. Behold, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. There is only one God. Figure that out and worship Him alone. Chapter 3, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Sigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. That just means so be it, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. We're getting ready to talk about the great day of the Lord judgment. And His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand. There was the hiding of His power before He went. The pestilence and the burning coals went forth at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. And we are talking about the last half of the tribulation period now, when God comes back and deals out His wrath. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in the affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Displeased against the rivers. Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? And we've seen here in past episodes, these are references to peoples, rivers, waters, great bodies of waters. These, was His anger against the rivers? Was His wrath against the sea, the multitude of the people, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quiet, naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. So be it. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered His voice and lifted up His hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine arrows. They went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. The day of the Lord, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. What did we see here in the garden when God dealt out His punishment? What did He say to the seed of the serpent? He said, what did He say to the serpent? He said, her seed will bruise thy head, and your seed will bruise his heel. And this is the day that it happens.
I imagine it has to do with Christ stomping on His head.
Yes, absolutely. Even for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. So be it. Thou didst strike through with the staves the head of his villages. It came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. You waded through the entire humanity and dealt out judgment. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. Flocks shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. All economy will come to a stop. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, like the feet of deer. Swiftly he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And more in days prophecy there. And all I can tell you, Christian, is be aware. The Bible says it in so many places. Be ready. When you see these things, go to the hills. It doesn't say when you see these things, prepare to be raptured and have your clothes folded and your dental implants placed upon them. It's not going to happen. You're going to be here. The theme of the book of Habakkuk, God will avenge the righteous. An apostolic look at the great day of the Lord. It's coming, and you're going to be here through half of it. He'll snatch you out before his wrath is poured onto the world, as only a righteous God would. He would not pour his wrath upon his children. But tribulation, yes, says so 150 different places in here. Pastor Bob was never told to tell you that. That's the problem with churches. They're given these guidelines. This is what we preach. This is how we preach. In fact, you don't even have to use the Bible. You can use the Methodist guidelines here or the Baptist guidelines. And then when they do use the Bible, we're reading from the book of Zephaniah here today. Let's look at verse 9. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold. Stop right there at that comma. We're going to go ahead and do a sermon on that. Mm-hmm. No, preach the whole Bible. Look at every word, every sentence, every line. It's all so many things in here. Never go home from church and believe what you heard. Just look at it yourself. Read it. I've heard so many things falsely preached from the pulpits. And just because I'd read the book 100 times myself, I knew. I fault the preacher. No, I fault his lack of reading the book. He's up there with an earnest heart trying to deliver a message, but he has not prepared himself with the word. You got to know that tribulation is coming in your lives. We are in the last days. I truly believe Donald Trump is the special shepherd that the book talks about. America is in this book. Go to WBFFradio.com. Between the lines of times such as this, you'll see America's in this book many times. Why would it not? At the end days, the greatest power on earth. It's in here, and Daniel spells it out in such a way that is, he doesn't use the name America, United States, anything like that, but he describes a nation that ruled the entire world, and England was the only nation to ever do that.
Refers to it as her.
Yes, yes, and the sun never set on the British Empire, and out of that nation, and she was mighty. Yeah, no one could stand against her. And out of that nation, a greater nation came that was even more mighty than her. The hammer of the whole earth. That is the United States of America. Catch us on WBFFradio.com and the episodes. And come along on this journey with us. We have a lot of fun in here. There's not a funner thing to do than read God's Word. We'll catch you next time. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.